I have with me Nick Seddon from Reform, which traditionally is known as a right-wing think tank. But today, Nick, you appear to be saying that the Blairites were right on the NHS and the coalition government is heading in the wrong direction.
The key thing that the Blairites understood in the second term, when they really put their shoulder to the door of Reform, was that the NHS needed opening up. And it needed opening up in a way that increased the capacity within the service and also improved the quality of the service, the value of the service, by introducing private competing companies and also charities to find new ways of doing things. And so this was about innovation, and it was about a kind of freedom of choice for patients. And one of the things that the Blairites were extremely good at was making the case on the basis of the social justice argument that the rich currently jump the queue by going private or use their sharp elbows to find the way through the system so that within the NHS they get better care, when all the academic evidence shows that there are enormous inequities of provision to those from lower socioeconomic groups and that choice would improve that. And so the Blairites were very, very strong on choice and on competition for a number of different reasons. And what we've been really worried about in terms of what the current government has got itself to in its current muddle is that they're turning their back on those principles which we think are very, very important for efficiency and quality and equity.
And who do you blame for that? Because it was traditionally seen, or it was seen, that the NHS reforms, when they were outlined last summer, they were seen as radical and pro-market. Why do you think there's such a wide gap between that rhetoric and what's been delivered so far after the pause and the bill?
It's difficult to get into the sort of the job of pointing fingers at particular people, sort of dangerous to do so. But I think we can say that there's sort of some level of horse trading that's gone on between the two coalition parties has sort of caused difficulties, particularly post AV. And Nick Clegg has become a kind of rallying point for wanting to sort of close down the service and not open it up. I think Andrew Lansley has been a bit sort of dithery, has been sometimes strong on competition. Sometimes he's said that they don't want competition that undermines the NHS, which is the whole point of competition, to undermine weaker services. And the Prime Minister has himself been extremely confusing. He, in his speech last Monday, he said that we want change, but by the time we finish, the NHS will look much the same. So I think that there is something in the general mix-up of the politics which is causing people at the top to be quite confused about what they stand for and therefore to send out quite confusing signals.
Now, the Labour Party itself, John Healey, the shadow health spokesperson, has said that perhaps they put too much competition into the NHS. He admitted that on a Guardian web chat with Andrew Sparrow. Do you worry that the political consensus is against your side of the argument?
Yes, I do hugely. I think there's so many different things to say from that simple question. The first is that John Healey's statement is completely preposterous. It's less than 4% of NHS provision is delivered through private companies. So it's an absolutely minuscule amount. And the accusation that companies cherry pick is only possible because the level to which they're allowed to engage is so low. So there's hardly any competition in the system at the moment. And that's one of our major concerns. And what's incredible is that those that oppose openness and choice kind of try and frighten the children by telling everybody that the whole thing is being taken over by private companies. It's just not true. And I just kind of find, on your point, are we sort of on the wrong side of the argument? Well, not on the wrong side of the argument, but I think that there seems to be a sway, a majority sway of voice in kind of Westminster, to avoid talking about choice and competition, which were, as I say, things that the Blair government knew were very important. We have, just to finish that off, I mean, we have meetings all the time here, many of them with the kind of reforming Blairites, many of whom are kind of, you know, head in hands at what's going on at the moment.
Isn't the practical question for politicians that they are looking to make £20 billion worth of efficiency savings? Now, they could have used choice and competition, and that's presumably what you would prefer. Instead, if they don't, what will they be left with? The Secretary of State himself or the National Commissioning Board deciding to shut down hospitals in order to save money?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely the right question. There is this sort of sad case of wondering whether or not they're all going to be hoist by their own petards on this, because the one thing that is not going to go away is the deficit challenge and the cost pressures on the NHS of rising demand and cost of treatments and technologies and expectations and aging demography and all the rest. These things are their realities, their political and economic realities. It is very difficult to see what they're going to do. Again, the Blairites knew that choice and competition provided capacity. So when the NHS was at bursting point, you could at least treat people in new types of facility. And also that competition between organisations would drive efficiency. And there's an increasing amount of evidence that is the case. The research over the last year that has said that competition between hospitals saves lives at no extra cost, that competition between GPs improves the quality of the service and it increases the amount of time that they're available to their patients. So if the government wants to meet the challenge of the deficit, and if it wants to contain the costs of healthcare in the UK, then I think what's going to happen is that in a year or two, it's going to have to completely readdress where it's got to.
So you think in a year, the political class will have to wake up to its own analysis and start really taking on your concerns? Does that not mean you're very disappointed with today's politicians?
Well, I mean, I think I'm very disappointed with the politics and where it's got us to. There are obviously some great people in Westminster and Whitehall that are trying very hard, but the politics seems to be a sort of ferment of its own. I do think that whatever the politicians say right now, it's the economy, stupid. The economics will take over, and at some point, you know, they're going to have to face up to the possibility of finding new forms of financing in the system. I think there is this huge challenge, as you say. I mean, probably in the next year or so, we're going to find out that there are about 30 hospitals running deficits that make them completely unsustainable. And if they don't have a new way of dealing with the management of that system, then it's going to be the Secretary of State's problem. And then it's a massive political problem at the centre. And I don't think they've really addressed how to deal with that.
Can I ask you finally, Nick, two questions? One is, who do you blame for this muddle? And who do you think is your prince over the water? Who is the Blairite in coalition clothing that could save this policy?
Oh, my goodness. it is not particularly clear to me on the second of those two questions. On the first of those two questions, I think that there is only one option but to require the leader of government to be responsible for the policies that the government signs up to. And the Prime Minister has repeatedly said that he supports the government's policies and the policies that his Secretary of State and in opposition has been building for a long time. So it has to be the PM.
Nick Seddon from Reform, thanks very much.